Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. What does Jesus desire for his followers? I think one of the big summary points of this passage is connection to him. Jesus wanted his followers to be connected to him. While he walked this earth, it happened in a very, very material manner, very fleshly manner. They walked with him. They went with him where he went. They stood by him. They listened to him. They asked him their questions. There was connection. And that's the desire that Jesus has for his followers. Now, Jesus goes on to talk about this connection. Verse 2, he says, a branch that is connected to the vine, it's going to be purged. In other words, it's going to be pruned. The useless pieces are going to be cut off so that it can bring forth more fruit. Part of connection is accepting that purging, that pruning. James says, The child is the one who is chastised. As children of God, we receive chastisement. We receive purging to help us to grow, to bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, he talks about it bringing forth fruit. Part of connection that Jesus wants is reproduction. You know, if you're a child of God, Jesus wants that relationship that you have with him to breed more children of God. That's fruit. When what we do as we connect into Jesus to have it breed more children of God. That's the fruit that he's talking about. Another thing that Jesus says about his desire for connection with his followers is that it brings forth much fruit. Verse 5. He says, without me you can do nothing, but as you connect with me, you can bring forth much fruit. I was challenged in the devotional meditation, the thought that we bring our burdens, and I'm going to say we bring ourselves to Jesus. As we do that, he empowers us to be fruitful. You know, when we're holding on to that, when we're holding on to those burdens and carrying them along with us, there's not fruit. It drags us down. We can say the right things, we can go the right places, but if we're carrying that burden along, it hurts the fruit. We cannot grow. As we look at some of the practical aspects of connection, Jesus said, as he goes, if we want to connect with him, keep his commandments. He said, as we keep commandments, his commandments, that will breed a relationship, a powerful relationship. Verses 12 and 13, he sums up his commandments like this, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It says you cannot demonstrate that in a greater way than to lay down your life for your friend. In other words, if we want to be connected to Jesus, we need to focus, by the grace of God, we need to focus our love on our friends, on those around us. Without that, if we don't have love, then we lose connection to Jesus. He says that love should be so great that we would be willing to lay down our lives for the benefit of a friend. You know, it's pretty easy when relationships hurt to lash out. But Jesus says, do the opposite. Lay down your life. Take the pain, even to the point of death, for your friend. Connection. Verses 14 and 15. If there's connection, there's friendship. We talked a little bit about the relationships that broke. But now we're talking about the relationships that are that are building, that are growing. You know, if you have a friend, you want to do things with that friend. If you have a friend, you have a desire to talk to that friend. If you have a friend, you just love to spend time with that friend. And Jesus says the same thing applies in connection with him. Our relationship with Jesus is a relationship of friendship. It needs to be a relationship where we can talk to Jesus. We can pour out our struggles, our trials to him. We can listen as he speaks. We want to spend time together. We want to do things together. Somebody made the observation that when two people marry and put their all into the marriage, they become more and more like each other. And that's something friendship, our friendship with Jesus, should do for us. It should make us more and more like Jesus. Part of that relationship is giving things up for the benefit of the other. That is one part of the relationship. And that breeds a closeness that we don't breed any other way. And we're willing to actually give things up for the benefit of a friendship. There will be a closeness developed that you will not develop any other way. Verses 18 and 19 talk then about a disconnection from the world. So in relationships, there's a point where you choose to separate yourself from one thing to grow the other. And Jesus says, in connecting to him, we need to disconnect from the world. So what exactly is he asking of us in disconnecting from the world? The world has its systems. The world has its gods. The world has its systems of authority. The world has its own goals. I think one of those an illustration that might, a practical thought that might help to draw that out. This morning there's people in church trying to draw closer to God. But there's also a class of people, there's a group of people that said they don't want to go to church. They have other things they want to do. Look at the things those people that are doing. And you have eyes into the values of the world. I think there's a third group of people that maybe want to be at church, but for some reason cannot be. We need to disconnect from the world. Jesus goes on to say later, maybe we're touching on this later, that, we'll come back to that. As we disconnect from the world with our different goals, our different values, many times it brings animosity from the world. It brings hatred. And that further separates our paths. It brings persecution. Verses 20 and 21. But Jesus, I think I'm just going to sum up John 16 Yeah, my next sub-point under Jesus' desires for his followers is prosperity in adversity. In John 16, the disciples and Jesus were very keenly aware of the separation that was about to come. Jesus was telling his disciples that. To the disciples, that felt like a big problem. Jesus, after all, Jesus was their all. He was their master. He was their leader. Jesus was their guide. He was their protector. He was their power. But Jesus said, in the midst of this adversity, we're going to turn this into prosperity. How? He said, when I go, the Spirit will come. And the Spirit will be able to minister to many people in many places at once. The Spirit is going to comfort the believer. He says the believer's sorrow will be turned to joy. I can't help but think on the day of Pentecost how real that was. But the sorrow at the loss of Jesus became joy. It became fulfillment. It became, well, they had a new sense of purpose. New moorings. Prosperity and adversity. When the Spirit came, he also reproved the world of sin. And as the Spirit encourages the believer and reproves the world of sin, we see him aiding the growth of the kingdom. Prosperity. That's the way Jesus measures prosperity, growth of the kingdom. Does it help to further the kingdom? Does it help to grow the cause? I want to read John 17. Oftentimes this is termed Jesus' high priestly prayer. But we see a lot of his heart for his people as he prays to God on their behalf. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John 17 here shows us a lot more of Jesus' desire for his followers. You know, as Jesus prays, he bears his heart. He reveals what's important to him. And one of the most outstanding things I see in these verses is his desire that we would be kept safe through his name, that we would be kept in God through Jesus. That's Jesus' desire for his followers. Verse 11, he says protection. He talks about protection. Now, we are in a dangerous world. But Jesus' heartbeat is that we would be kept by the power of God, that we would be protected. Verse 12, that we would be kept in Jesus. All run very similar trains of thought. You know, the most important thing to Jesus is the growth of his kingdom. He had spent 3 years preparing his disciples to follow him and to promote his name to others for the growth of his kingdom. And now he's saying, as he's asking God as he leaves, to protect them, to keep them in his name. The next thing I see in verse 13 is that the joy of Jesus would be in them. This joy is something that only the follower of Jesus can know. As a follower of Jesus, you know a joy that the world does not know. As a follower of Jesus, you know a joy that can live in your heart, even when life outside is challenging. There's a flame that burns on, even when the going gets tough. Jesus prayed that this joy would stay in his followers. As we move on, verses 15 to 16 and verse 18, his prayer is that his followers would be in the world, but guarded from the evil of the world. In fact, he says it a little more strongly than that, that his followers would be sent to the world, but guarded from the evils of the world. When you look around you and see the evils of the world around you, it's because you're aware Jesus has prayed that you would be. His prayer was that we could be in the world, but guarded from the evils of the world. That just as Jesus gave strength to his followers to live a righteous life, a life separated from what was happening around them, that we can do likewise in the world. Verse 20 says that there would be more added to the kingdom. That's the heart cry of Jesus. Kingdom growth. that more people would become his followers, that more would come to the place of knowing his joy, his power, his love, that more would accept that and become his children. Verse 17, Jesus lays out another one of his desires for his followers, and that is sanctification through truth. He wants his followers to keep growing. He doesn't want them to reach a plateau where they're comfortable with where they are. He wants them to dig into the truth of his word and to grow. The heartbeat of the Master. Verse 21, he says that there could be unity among his people, just like Jesus and God are one. Can you separate Jesus from God? You cannot. You cannot separate Jesus from God. Jesus' heartbeat is that we could grow into unity where his people just cannot be separated from each other. The devil understands that heartbeat. He works very hard to break that unity apart. But Jesus prayed for us before he left this earth that we could have a unity among his followers that is that strong as the unity is between Jesus and God the Father. There's something to strive for. He goes on to say that this unity will cause people to believe that Jesus is real. Unity that stands through thick and thin is not found in the world. And Jesus said, as we develop a unity that stands, people are going to look on and realize that Jesus is real. That there is a power above man. There is a power that the world is missing. He goes on to say in his prayer that God's love for Jesus be found among his followers, with Jesus being the central theme. Do you know the love of God this morning? Do I know the love of God this morning? Now, that's a challenge that we need to raise to each of our hearts. I trust you can answer that yes, that you know the love of God this morning. But do you know the depth of the love of God this morning? That gives us something to grow and grow and grow. Because we do not understand the depth of the love of God. So what is the desire of the Master for his people? It's a desire that his people are connected to him. It's a desire that his people would prosper in adversity. And it's a desire that there could be that strong a love among his people that it would reach out to others and draw them into the kingdom. These thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.